If you have your Bible with you tonight, I would like to read two places in the Old Testament and two places in the New. We shall read firstly in the little prophecy of Hosea, chapter 9. The prophecy of Hosea, chapter 9. And we shall read but one short sentence here. Verse 5. What will you do in the solemn day? That will be easily remembered. What will you do in the solemn day? Now turn back, please, to the book of Genesis. First book in our Bible, chapter 27. I got my Bible rebound, and the man who has rebound it has left out Genesis 27. So I have to borrow this Bible so that we'll read it correct, although I know it very well. Verse 1. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old, and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son, and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Thank you very much. Now shall we turn this time, please, to the New Testament. And we shall read in the first epistle of Peter, chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, writing to Christians, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Having your conversation, or your manner of living, honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Finally, in the Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 4, also written to Christians, but we will apply it here tonight. Verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. At all times, God blesses the reading of His own Word. It would be very simple for you to see what I'm going to speak about this evening. I have thought about this old-time question in the prophecy of Hosea chapter 9. What will you do in the solemn day? And I have read three portions from the Bible that present to us 3 days, which I'm sure all will be agreed are solemn days indeed. And then we shall make the application personal and bring it to your attention faithfully. What will you do in the solemn day? Now the first day that I'm going to speak about, and we've been reminded that these meetings have as one of their major themes the fact that the opportunity to be saved and the opportunity to have your sins forgiven is slipping very quickly away. We believe we are in the last of the last days, and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is a very imminent thing. He may come even before our meeting would consummate in its usual manner. All during this wonderful day of grace, which commenced at the ascension of the Lord Jesus and the coming into the world of the person of the Holy Spirit, who is truly in the world tonight, this age of visitation of divine grace has been continued. During that long harvest day, multitudes of precious souls from the north and from the south, and from the east and from the west, have heard the glad evangel of the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins as a substitute, and was buried in the garden tomb of Joseph, and rose again the third day. Men have gone with that gospel, and they have carried it to every race and people. And that day of grace is still continuing. But we know not when that day will terminate. But every person in the world that has lived in every generation has what we have read about in 1 Peter 2 and 12, a day of visitation. Now what is this day of visitation? It is a special time in a man's life, in a woman's life, in the life of a boy or a girl, when the Holy Spirit, who is unseen but is a divine person, when he makes overtures, when he causes the sinner to stop and ponder, and to consider that life is real, and that death is real, and that beyond this life there must be a life to come, and when sobering thoughts of God, of sin, and of the possibility of gaining eternal glory when the journey is done, that is the work of the Holy Spirit of God, and it is a day of visitation. Now I believe that God visits persons, and he visits places. When the Lord Jesus was here, he visited certain places many times. There were other places that he very seldom visited, and some places that he never visited. God visits districts, he visits cities, and he visits people. And I believe that we are now, presently, in a day of visitation. That's a day when the saints are stirred up. And you would only have to be at the prayer meeting tonight to gauge the stirring up of the Lord's people. It's a day when the saints are anxious to see souls saved. That's what these meetings are all about. There is a burden upon our hearts in light of the solemnity of the times, the character of the days, the violence surrounding us, the indifference and the godlessness, that out of the mass of unsaved sinners on the way to hell, there may be some brought here and visited and caused to consider what they have never considered before, that life is real and that God is real and that heaven is real and that hell is real and that I'm going somewhere and I need to think about the vital matter of where I will be 5 minutes after I die. The day of visitation. Now that's a solemn day when the gospel is being preached and when Christ will be uplifted before your gaze and when the opportunity to be saved is extended. It's a solemn day. Why? Because in meetings like these, sinners determine their destiny. I have no doubt that some that will attend these meetings will never again attend meetings of this nature. And some of these meetings may at this time be passing through their last golden opportunity. What you do in these meetings may determine where you will be in eternity. God is calling and Christ is at the door and the gospel is being preached and saints are stirred up and the Spirit is moving and the age of grace is lasting and the day of mercy is extended, and your destiny for eternity is in the balance, what will you do in the solemn day? You can do one of two things. You can bow to the authority of divine truth. You can say on the seat where you sit, I'm a lost sinner. And if I go as I am, I have no hope of ever being in heaven. And I need the Savior that is being preached. And I'm going to receive Him by an act of faith. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Or you can close your eyes, rise out of your seat, cast it behind your back, trample over the prayers of saints, say no to the Savior who waits for your answer. What will you do on the solemn day of visitation? But there's another solemn day that I want to speak about. And it is indeed a solemn day, and it's coming to us all. There's only one thing that can hinder each of us coming to this solemn day, and that is the coming of the Lord Himself. And He may come. And it is the solemn day of dying. I'm standing here a dying man, addressing an audience of dying men and women. In the course of a few years, 50 years from tonight, how many of us will be in this Minkler Auditorium? I know for sure that 100 years from tonight, not one of us will be here. What is your life? It is even a vapor. One by one, this audience will disappear and go over into eternity, some by accident, some by long lingering illness, some suddenly, some in their teens, some in their 80s. But one by one we're going to leave where we are for the world to come. I read those words, I know not the day of my death. Not one of us know that time. Hebrews 9:27 reads, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, we must die. Every one of us here are dying men and women going over into our long home from whence there is no coming back. Death is a solemn day because it will sever every earthly tie. We have got to leave our home, our businesses. One day we will go out to come back no more. We have got to leave our wives and our little ones. All that we have known in this life is only passing and fleeting. That home you will leave it, that business, your wealth, your friends and honors, you will leave it all behind. Death is coming. Boast not thyself of tomorrow as in the back of the hymn sheet. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Death is a solemn day because it ushers us into a world that we know nothing about experimentally. It will bring us to eternity. And in eternity there are only two places. How do you think I feel tonight gazing into the faces of men and women and boys and girls bound for the world to come? And some of you have no thought of where you will be. You have never considered the vastness of that eternity to which you hasten. And on the other side of death, it is either heaven and home with Christ, or else it is hell. And we speak it softly and tenderly. It's not something to shout about. But it is a dread reality. The modernist preacher says no, no. The ritualist says no, no. But the Bible says yes. There is a hell of fire. And there is a heaven of bliss. And each and every one in this company will be in eternity in one of two places. Friend of mine tonight, whither bound? Oh, that we could awaken you tonight, and I couldn't do it, but that the Spirit of God would do it, that you might realize that you're going on to the solemn day of death. It's a solemn day for the Christian when he comes to die, when the curtains are down, and his race is run, his service is ended. I hope we'll put more into our service, dear Christian. We have a prayer meeting, and there are souls to win that we cannot reach. Our brother and I have visited this college today, and many of the students have come here tonight in answer to our entreaties. But you can win the lost. You, if you're a true believer, you can bring someone under the sound of the gospel at this time, or you can sit back at your ease. When the last day comes, our service will be over. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for the Savior will last. And to the young believers here tonight, while it's a meeting for sinners, I would say to you, in a materialistic age, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. If all the believers in Toronto were stirred up tonight, many souls would be turning to God every night. Revival has to begin with the preachers and with the believers. Death will be a solemn day. Whatever I intended to do, I cannot do it now. Whoever I sought to reach, it will be too late. I remember when I was first saved, listening to them singing that old hymn, and it stirred my heart. Must I go in empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior so? Not one soul with which to greet Him. Must I empty-handed go? Tell me tonight, are you going to be stirred up to live your life for Christ tonight? Are you going to live it for the world? But it's a solemn day for an unsaved man or woman, boy or girl. When the end is drawing near, and life begins to recede, and the gospel will be heard no more, and I have no Christ. I'm going out with religion, but no Christ. I'm going out, and I have never been born again. I have been baptized, but I have never been saved by divine grace. Going out to meet God with no shelter for eternity, what will it mean? I often think of what it must be like when a soul suddenly leaves the world along the highway or in a burning building or in an air disaster. Those dear ones, and many miles I have flown by aircraft here and there, and I know San Diego well, have landed there many times to preach. And I wondered at the last thoughts of that great company in that aircraft the other day, as they plunged to disaster. What must it have meant to men in business life? It's terminating, and they're going out to meet God. Oh, what will it be like to die without a Savior? And lift your eyes in hell on the wrong side of that fixed gulf. Many will be there who never believed in it. It was the laugh of the drunkard in the tavern and the joke of the man on the stage. But the most of you here have heard of it, and some of you have been wept over and prayed for even before you were born. There are those attending these meetings who have loved ones in the glory. Some are here who have been long prayed for and have turned away in this great city to the pleasures of sin, but God has brought you here tonight. Oh, think of eternity. What will you do on the solemn day when the harvest is past? The time to be saved is tonight, before you pillow your head on your bed. There's another day I want to speak about in closing. The day of redemption. This day is the consummation of the redemption of the bodies of the believers. I read in Ephesians 4 and 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. This is simply the day of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who came the first time as a babe in lowly guise is coming into the mid-air. He may be over Toronto tonight, over Sydney, over Auckland, over New York, over London, over Africa and Asia. He will poise in the mid-air, and with a shout and a voice like unto an archangel and the trump of God, the graves of sea and land will be emptied of the true believers. We which are alive and remain shall be raptured, shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Be a solemn day. What will you do on the solemn day when your loved ones are gone? And not a believer is in the city of Toronto. These meetings could terminate in a very unusual manner. We have announced that tomorrow evening we will be here in the Minkler Auditorium. We live in the last days. Many times I think these are difficult days. I have been preaching now for 34 years. And as I look back to those early days, it seemed to be much easier to see people saved. They long to be saved, but while it is a difficult day, it is a day that we are glad to serve in, to serve our own generation in the last days at 5 minutes to midnight, almost at the end of the age and the coming of the Lord upon us, and this door of this great auditorium is open, and you're given, it's likely the last time, an opportunity to be saved. A solemn day when the Lord comes and the saints are gone. What will you do on the solemn day when the cry will be heard, the harvest is past? The summer has ended and we are not saved. What will you do on the solemn day that will be the beginning of those most terrible days that are coming into the world? We used to speak of the fearful awakening, finding oneself left behind and the saints are gone, and that will be an awful awakening. To waken up in your home, mother and father gone, uncle and aunt gone, grandmother and grandfather gone, or perhaps in that home of yours no one will be taken. But you will hear the news. It will be headlines. Multitudes have disappeared from every nation and land and clime. What has taken place? The secret removal of the people of God. But oh, it's what's coming after. The ominous clouds are gathering tonight. The fig tree is seen in bloom. Israel is in the land. The violence is around us. A third of the world is in famine conditions. Tonight, a third of the world has no bed to rest in. Pestilence in diverse places, wars and rumors of wars. Men in high places are trembling tonight. Fearful sights in the heavens and on the earth, and the waves in the sea roaring tonight. We're at the end. The coming of the Lord is almost here. What will you do in the solemn day? I hope that tonight in this solemn day of visitation, as our brother continues and preaches the cross and the love of God to sinners, that you might put out your hand and say, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, and thou shalt be saved. May God help you for his name's sake.